Welcome back to the Strong and Lean at Any Age podcast. I am Susan Niebergall, and today I have fellow Inner Circle coach Jordan Syatt back on board with me. Now, today's episode is a little different than previous episodes, just because I am asking Jordan a series of rapid-fire style questions that cover a bunch of different subject areas. We cover a lot of health and fitness related topics and a bunch of other topics as well, and his answers are nothing short of magical. We had some great discussions, and there's lots and lots of valuable information for you in this episode. So grab your coffee, put up your feet, take a listen. I think you are really, really going to enjoy this episode. Let me know what you think. Have a great day.
Hello.
Hello there.
Oh, hello, Susan. How are you? That was very Santa Clausy. Welcome. Oh,
that really was.
How are you feeling?
Much better. Much better.
Good. That was like a 24-hour illness. Now you're good.
Pretty bad 24 hours. Yeah, but right, you know, yeah. You hop over on the other side, and it's all good.
Well, good. I'm glad. I'm here. Rico is with me. We're just hanging out in the Syatt Fitness HQ, which is just my tiny ass apartment. That's it.
Awesome. Well, I have a list of questions I'm going to ask you, very much like you did for me the last time we were on your podcast. So turnabout is fair play. Some are similar, or in a couple, maybe even the exact same, but a bunch of different ones. But before we do that, why don't we talk a little bit about our big event in July coming up with the Inner Circle?
Let's talk about our big event in July, the Inner Circle retreat. So candidly, you are like running the show on that. You're like setting everything up. I mean, it's exciting because we got all the speakers set up. Is there anything specific that you would definitely want people to know about it right now?
Yeah, I think I want people to know that, first of all, it exists, that we are putting together a we, by the way, so let's make sure we get that straight, that it is a two-day event that you and I are putting together for our Inner Circle members, where we're going to be bringing in speakers to talk about all kinds of things related to nutrition and working out and mindset and everything. We have a big workout planned at Onnit Gym, which will be a lot of fun. And we're going to have a lot of hangout time and a lot of time for our Inner Circle members to kind of get to know each other too. So we're super excited.
Yeah, I think probably I've been trying to figure out the best way to explain it. And a lot of people are always asking, well, what is the Inner Circle? What are you doing it? And so for the retreat, it's basically, and you and I have spoken about this, but it's basically, there's a lot of fitness summits and seminars and weekend retreats, but most of them in our experience have been a lot of based around marketing and selling more products, more gear, more products. And like, that's not what we want. So basically this retreat, 2-day retreat, Austin, Texas, is our way of creating a fitness seminar, fitness retreat, in which literally it's just all content. It's all bringing in some of the best speakers in the world to talk about and teach how to build a better mindset around food and nutrition, eliminating food anxiety, how to lift to get stronger, to get more defined, to look the way you want to look and feel the way you want to feel. And it's literally just all content based. There's nothing, we're not selling anything, it's not any extra. And then equally as important, if not more, is it's for Inner Circle members. So like, as you know, Inner Circle is $24.99 a month. It's $25 a month. But in order to come to the retreat, it's not like we're selling, it's not like an extra cost for the ticket. Like, your Inner Circle membership is the cost of the ticket. And that's it. And it's literally, it's all we want. We just want as many people to go as possible. So it's the most caring, encouraging, supportive community, period. And that's it. That's, we just want people to have the most amazing time. And so that's what we're so stoked about. And if anybody has been on the edge or thinking about joining the Inner Circle, in terms of getting the workouts every month, the nutrition every month, the supportive group community, that obviously do it. But not only because you get that, you also get access to the retreat in this coming July.
Absolutely. And, you know, one word that always comes to mind when I think of this event is genuine, because I really think it's so genuine from both of us and what we want to do for this. And it's not a way to make money, because that's not happening. It is just a way for us to help people and be able to get everybody together with real genuine content that I think is going to help every single person there.
100%. I'm excited. I'm really excited about it. So I'm glad that you brought that up at the beginning.
Super, super excited. Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm giving Rico a little Turkish coffee so he can sip on that while we do this podcast. So let's get after it.
So if I hear Rico bouncing off the walls in the background, I'll know what's going on. Got it. Okay. All right. So all kinds of subject areas for these questions too, by the way. Okay.
No holds barred. Nothing is off.
Of course.
You can ask whatever the fuck you want.
Absolutely. Good. Because I will. Okay. Okay. Right now, if you could buy any type of food right this second, what would you go out and get?
Pizza.
Is that the same no matter when?
It's just always pizza. It's always, always pizza. And like, I guess like, actually it doesn't even matter if it's shitty pizza. I'll still get pizza. That's just like, if there's one food I'm going to get right now, answer is always pizza.
Well, where you are, there's hardly any shitty pizza.
That's exactly right. I mean, that's why people are like, did you move to New York for Gary? No, I moved to New York for the pizza. Gary was a benefit, but the pizza.
Yeah, right.
Is really
there you go. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Who do you admire the most?
Who do I admire the most? Let's see. That's a really tough question. I will say, like, without question, my mother is someone I admire a lot based on everything. She raised my brother and I largely alone. She worked. Yeah, you know, it's just gonna be my mom. She raised my brother and I largely alone. There were a bunch of things that she did that I didn't realize until I was older that I just like blow me away. Where I remember learning one time that when I was a kid, she actually lost her job at one point, but I didn't know it. Like it's not like she like came home in a really bad mood or was stamping around or crying. It was just like, she lost her job and she like made sure that my brother and I were set with like, before school, like I forget what it was called. It was like they had offered some program before school where kids could go in early if like parents had to drop their kids off early. So we were there.
Yeah.
And she was essentially like, she would drop us off exactly the same way as if she was going to work. But later I found out she was like going to the library or just like essentially like looking for jobs like so that she could get one as quickly as possible. And we were in a really tough financial bind. Like I think we were like close to having to move, and it was just like, she never showed it. And I know there, like, in many situations, in there are people who can't do that. It's just like, it's not in their ability to or whatever, but she was always incredibly good at making it happen, making sure my brother and I never stopped going to sports or athletics or after school programs or whatever. She always still found a way to make it work without like putting that pressure on us, like thinking like, oh my God, what's going to happen. So I think she's definitely one of my biggest, if not my biggest, admirations.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And it's what's really, really nice is that you now see that, you see all of that.
Yeah.
And I think that's just unbelievably amazing. Awesome. Okay. Who is your favorite cartoon character and why?
Favorite cartoon character in life. That's another really good question. Let's see. I've always liked Daffy Duck. Daffy Duck is just always super goofy and funny. Yeah, I'll go with Daffy Duck. I'm a big Daffy Duck fan.
I'm a Winnie the Pooh kind of girl.
Respect. I like Winnie the Pooh. I like Winnie the Pooh. That's cool. I like Winnie the Pooh, the show, it was Eeyore. I just always felt so bad for Eeyore.
Oh, you like, and me both.
I felt so bad for him. Yeah. And I wish like they had a follow up to that show so we could get to know Eeyore a little bit better. Like just like the
spin-off.
Like, Eeyore's upbringing. Like what happened to Eeyore as a kid? Like what's his upbringing like? And so we could get to know Eeyore a little bit better because I feel like there's more to that story.
I 100% agree. I will tell you this, in my later years, I think I've become more Tigger-ish.
Interesting. I like
Yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I
I'm
like that. Very
not
okay.
sure.
Okay, you've become more tigerish. I've become more piglet-ish.
Oh,
Respect.
yeah.
I
Yeah, that's amazing. Awesome. Okay. Describe yourself in three words.
three words. Short, bald, Jewish.
Of course, of course. How about four words? One more word.
short, bald, Jewish
Okay.
deadlifts.
Good, which, well, I'll take that. Which is a great lead into the next one. Deadlifts or sex?
Wow. Wow, you had to like, and I'm assuming I can't combine them both into one
You know what? You can do
complex
whatever
movement.
you want.
That'd be a good complex. Yeah, we're gonna do like a complex exercise of deadlifts. It's like a superset complex. We'll do that of deadlifts and sex together. Because realistically, if you should be having sex with someone who also appreciates the wonder of deadlifts. So I think that they go together. And if you're practicing deadlifts, then a lot like there is a large portion of that you're doing it for sex. And if you're having sex, then it should carry over to your deadlift performance.
Goes hand in hand. Absolutely. Awesome. I figured you were going to say that. I figured. Okay, for someone who wants to start their fitness journey from the very beginning, but is so overwhelmed with all of the changes that has to be made, what would your advice be to them?
Someone who's overwhelmed, I would say to starting with one thing. A lot of people, they start to get overwhelmed with all of the nutrition and with the training and with the supplements and with everything else. The first thing that I would say is I'd really figure out, number one, where their goal, where their biggest goal was, whether it was, if it was more based around fat loss, if it was more based around becoming like some people's goal is just like they want to be more consistent in the gym, or someone else's goal is they want to lose more fat, or someone else's main goal is they want to get out of pain, they want like whatever. So figuring out what their main goal is, and then if so, based on what they say, focusing on the one thing that makes the most sense. So if your goal is more fat loss focused, I would say, okay, first and foremost, let's really focus on your nutrition. Don't worry about going to the gym yet. Don't worry about like making sure that you're getting in the gym like 7 times a week. Don't worry about really the supplements you should be taking. Let's just first focus on writing down everything you're eating. Just that's it. Just eat. You don't even have to count the calories. Just like start writing everything you're eating down. Because usually when that happens, when you become more aware of what you're eating, you start to eat better. You start to realize, oh wow, I didn't realize I was eating like the pancakes in the morning, then I was also having a snack with the like the chocolate bar, and then I was having this right after lunch. And it's like when you start becoming more aware of it, you start to naturally eat better. So if someone's that if fat loss is the main goal, I would go with that. If strength training or if being more consistent in the gym is the main goal, then I would say like start off with going 2 times a week, just like doing something 2 times a week. That's it. Like start off with less rather than more. You don't need to do Like, not only do you not need to, but I'd rather have someone start off with like 2 times a week, just going in, doing a little bit, and having them really want to go more than starting off with too much and then getting burnt out and then missing a session, losing motivation as a result of it. I'd rather them like be like itching to go than the opposite. So that it's really just as simple as start off with one thing, hammer that home for 90 days straight, really like be consistent with that, and then move on to the next.
I totally agree with that. And I think this is such a big issue out there. I get contacted by people all the time that's exactly what we do, actually, is pick one thing and get good at that one thing, and then we add another thing, and then we add another thing, and it becomes doable at that point.
I agree. It's in the inner circle, you know, we call it goal stacking, where it's
Yep.
like you focus on one thing for 30, 60, 90 days. Then once you've mastered that or you've gotten really good at that, then you can add something else onto it. I think people run into issues when they try and do too many things at once, or they try and do too much of one thing at the very beginning before building up to it. It's the sort of same thing like a lot of people are like, well, how do you get to deadlifting 500 pounds? How do you get to that point? Well, before you can like deadlift 500 pounds, it's not only getting your reps in, it's literally building up your muscles, your tendons, your ligaments, your joints, everything, building all of that up over time to be able to withstand that type of volume, that type of intensity. And it's the same thing with building a habit. It's very difficult to go all in on something without having built up the habit first and expect to make it last. You have to, because when you make a new habit, it's not just changing the mindset around it. It's also changing your daily habits and your daily, what you do throughout the day that has to change to fit that new habit in. So you start with one thing, something else is going to have to give down the road. So, and that's the same thing as building up your body, your tendons, your ligaments, your joints, your muscles in order to withstand that volume and intensity. When you add a new habit in, your life is going to have to change in a similar way. And so you have to build up to that point where it can then be sustainable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great, great advice. Okay. What is your favorite joke? Tell me your favorite joke.
What did one joke say, or what did one ocean say to the other ocean?
What?
It waved. That is not actually my favorite joke. It's just the first one that popped into my mind. So
it's the one that you could remember.
I also feel like my actual favorite joke would probably be a very dirty one, like inappropriate for this call, but for whatever reason, my buddy David told me that in high school, and I thought it was fucking hilarious. I vividly remember David, he was like, so what did one ocean say to the other one? I was like, I don't know. He was like, nothing, it waved. I was like, dude, that is fucking gold. And forever, ever since high school, it's always been my go-to joke right off the bat.
Well, if you ever have to have a joke off the top of your head, there you go.
There we go.
There you go. That was amazing.
What's your favorite joke, Susan?
You know, probably a pirate joke, you know, because I just remember when Mike was young, we were all, he thought those were the most funniest jokes on the planet. You know, I don't even know something. What did the pirate say? Or no, wait a minute. I don't know. Something about a pirate going to a movie and it was rated R, you know, that kind of thing. Okay. Yeah, it was all pirate jokes back then.
All right. Okay.
You know, okay. I can't remember a single one of them, but anyway, moving on. Okay. What is your biggest pet peeve?
My biggest pet peeve. Okay. Well, I have several. Number one will be, when I'm walking into a building and I see someone's behind me and then I hold the door open for them and then they just walk in without saying thank you. Like part of me feels like Lord Voldemort when that happens. I feel like I will Avada Kedavra you immediately if you don't turn around and say thank you. That is huge. And I know then on the other hand, though, I understand from the other side of the coin, too, because let's say I'm like, we'll call it 50 feet back and someone looks back and sees me and then they hold the door open. Now I have to do that like awkward, like, okay, I'm going to run to the door now to get up to you because, like, you're being kind enough to hold it open. But it's like, all right, if there has to be some amount of space between myself and the door where it's like, all right, you just are expected to open it yourself. Because then that, like, awkward jog in can be a little bit discomforting, too. So that's probably one of my biggest pet peeves.
But, okay, so what do you do with then if there's, like, another door? Like, you open the first door and that person goes, then do you try to get the second door, too? Or well, are they going to?
So in my mind, if I open door number one, they should be opening door number two. That's usually how it should go. I think it's a little bit difficult. Like if you open door number one and then like you try and jump ahead to then open again door number two, it's like, I'm not the doorman. Like unless you're like, maybe I'll just hold my hand out and expect a tip for doing that. But like if whoever opens door number one, the next person opens door number two. I will say another huge pet peeve of mine is when I'm in an elevator and I'm about to exit and the door opens and then someone else walks in before I can exit. I'm like, that's not how this works.
Yeah. Now,
I absolutely have made the mistake of just trying to walk in first and then realizing there's someone else in there. And I always am like, okay, I'm sorry. Like you come out first. But my issue is when someone will look you in the eye and walk in before you've walked out yet. That's when I'm like, okay, that's not okay.
That's not okay. Enough. Yeah. No, totally agree. Totally agree. Okay, what is your favorite movie of all time?
Favorite movie of all time. I will say one of my all-time favorites, American History X with Edward Norton. Have you ever seen that?
No.
One of my all-time favorite movies. Edward Norton is arguably my favorite actor of all time. He's extraordinary, and it's basically a story of Edward Norton plays this white supremacist who ends up going to prison and becoming friends with a black guy, and he realizes that like white supremacy is not like the thing that he wants to be supporting. It's not the influence he wants it to have on his younger sibling. And so he changes and he becomes a better person. He regrets all the bad stuff that he did, and he comes out, and his younger brother is now a white supremacist. And it's the story of like him becoming a better reformed person and trying to help his brother see that like white supremacy isn't a good thing, and like all people are equal. And it's an extraordinary movie.
Oh, wow. That sounds amazing. I'll have to find that. I am really old school, like super old school, like Wizard of Oz. I grew up on that.
Is that your favorite movie, Wizard of Oz?
All time. Yep.
That really is an iconic movie. It's an iconic movie, especially I have always loved how it went from black and white to then color and then back to black and white. That movie really is, it's tremendous.
It is. And to this day, that witch scares the crap out of me.
Have you seen Wicked, by the way?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Yeah. That witch, because forever that witch scared me for sure. But then Wicked made me be like, oh my God, should I feel bad for that witch?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What like a mind fuck that was.
Yeah. No, exactly. That was a little bit of a mind fuck for that. We were sitting front row center, literally, for Wicked.
Oh, wow. That's perfect.
Yeah. Crazy seat. It was great. Yeah. Wizard of Oz, the best. Absolutely the best. Okay. The number one reason you think people are not successful with weight loss?
This is something I've been debating myself with, especially in the last few days, because I've had a number of conversations on what is really the driver behind success. And I would say I think there's an argument to be made for inconsistency related to lack of patience or unrealistic expectations being a driver for not being successful. But I really think that a lot of inconsistency really stems from a lack of belief in one's ability to succeed. And I think like that is probably the root cause of a lot of it, if not all of it, because if you truly believe that you're going to make it work, that it's going to happen, that like that you can do this, then inconsistency becomes less of an issue, because like it's like, well, I'm going to keep going, because even if I got on the scale today and I was upset, I'm not going to let that lead to a binge or to me giving up for the next week or to like saying, ah, fuck it. It's like, hey, I didn't like what the scale said, but that's okay. I'm going to keep going. Or it's like, hey, maybe I didn't have a good day in the gym, but I'm not going to let that keep me from getting back in here tomorrow, because I still know I'm going to make it happen. I think that belief in yourself is the driver of everything. First and foremost, being consistency. And when you're being consistent, then you're more likely to make progress. And when you make more progress, then that leads to more motivation from the beginning. So I really think the root of it all is your belief in yourself to succeed. And that's why I think what we do in the Inner Circle is so important, because it's not just us, it's all the members that they do it for each other, is helping everybody know and feel that they can succeed, that they can do it. And that's why the success has been so outrageously through the roof, because building up everyone's confidence in order to make sure that they're being consistent.
Oh, 100%. And watching that happen in that group is absolutely amazing to see.
It is. It really is.
But I totally agree with that. I think it is lack of belief. But what do you think all that comes from? Like, why do you think some people don't think they can do it while others think they can do it?
That is a question that I think Rico and I were talking about that the other day. That's a harder question. And I think it's a much more individual basis. It's a much more like what happened at growing up as a kid. What's your personality type like, just in general? As a kid, were people telling you like, hey, you can do it, like you're really good? Were more people like beating down on you, saying like you're worthless, you can't do anything? Like, is that more of your upbringing? I think if someone is more brought up in the world of like getting their confidence built up, they're probably more likely to have good confidence. And on the other hand, I think if someone's built up in a world of like, hey, you can do anything, but like it's a built on a fake fit. It's like a fake idea of like, they're not actually facing challenges. They're not ever actually being put in a situation in which they do lose. It's like, then it's not going to last when they put in a situation where they start to face real challenges and things get difficult. So long story short, I think it really does depend on the person. I do think that someone's confidence or self-efficacy can be built up. It's something that you can improve over time. I just think that it's not an easy thing to build. And a lot of people, they don't either have the support network to make it happen over a long period of time, and or they just don't even know or think that that's possible.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with that. I think how your life experiences play such a big role with all of that.
Agreed.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, I am happiest when.
I am happiest when I am. I am happiest when I am making an impact, and it's basically when I can see what my efforts are doing, are making a change. It could be with one person, with in an email. It could be on the phone. It could be in person. It could be in the Inner Circle Facebook group. It could be on Instagram. And I think really this is where a lot of people are like, man, like you don't stop working. Like you just work all the time. Like maybe you should take a break. It's like, but people don't get, I love it. Like I love when I make a new piece of content and I put it out there and I see the impact that it's making. I love when I see, when I see that somebody is making an improvement, they're having less food anxiety. I love when I see another coach posting new content based around something that like they might have learned from me. I love seeing the impact and seeing it spread. And that's one reason why people are like, man, you're a content machine, or you're doing so much, you never stop working. It's like, yeah, is it hard? 100%. Is it tiring? Absolutely. Are there like times when I need a break? Yes. Like everybody. But I think the amount of time I need a break is or need to take a rest or time away from work is far less than a lot of people, because what I'm doing is what makes me the most happy.
That is so important. And I would have said the exact same thing. The exact same thing. And it's so interesting that people, I hear this a lot over here on my end about working too much and I put in so much time and all this. And I try to explain it like you. It doesn't feel like too much to me, because I love doing it. And I love seeing how helping somebody, what it does. I mean, I don't know. There's nothing like that feeling. There's nothing like it.
It's sort of similar to when a lot of people, when someone loves working out, they love going to the gym, they love working out, they love lifting weights. And probably a lot of their friends are like, oh, just take a day off. Like you can relax. Yeah. You don't have to be working out so much. Like, no, guys, you don't get it. Like you go to the gym because you feel like you have to. I go to the gym because I actually fucking love it. And it's like, it's the same way. A lot of people, they're like, no, you don't have to work so much. You don't have to do this. And they go to work because they have to, because it's what they do in order to put food on the table. And then they can get the weekends off. And like, that's their happy time. For me, and I know for you as well, it's like, we work on the weekends because we love what we do. And we work late at night because we love what we do. And wake up early because we love what we do. It's not like it's not looking at it as like, oh, got to go into the office again. It's like, I mean, fortunately, like I can wear whatever I want because it's my apartment. It's like right now I'm wearing a ugly yellow hat. And actually, I'm actually wearing some semblance of clothing today. But it's like, I love being able to do what I love to do. And that's it. Like it's odd if I'm taking a break or doing something otherwise. It's not because I don't want to be doing what I love. It's just like, I just love doing what I do, and I love making an impact. And that's why I think motivation isn't much of an issue, because it's truly what I enjoy.
Yeah. 100%. Absolutely. Okay. One thing that people don't know about me.
About you, Susan?
Let's see. About you. About you.
One thing that people don't know about me is, let's see. It's difficult because I feel like I do a pretty good job of like putting myself out there Let's see. I was going to say that I was a big troublemaker as a kid, but I think I've done a pretty good job of making that obvious. Okay, one thing that people don't know about me is that I for a long time have never for a majority of my life growing up, I was never convinced that marriage was a really good option. I grew up, my parents got divorced. They didn't really have a good marriage. I never really saw good marriages. It wasn't like, and it wasn't because growing up, I was like, wow, like this is just awful. It was more just like, that's just what I saw. And like growing up, you don't really know what other marriages look like. So for a long time, I wasn't really sure if marriage was like even a good thing or if everybody should do it. And in my life, I was convinced I was never going to get married. At this point, that's definitely changed, and like I can definitely see myself getting married at this point. But it's been an interesting evolution and change over time in my own mindset. Like, just, and it also has shown me how impactful the way you grow up really can, how that can be on you as a person, your own beliefs. And it's one thing that, it's one reason why I, for a long time, I would ask people I knew who I did know had really good marriages and who I did know had good relationships, ask them, like, I would just sit there and ask them to tell me about it and ask them questions. Well, what do you do in this situation? And like, is this normal? And like, talk to me about this, and just get other people's perspective on it. Because when you only know what you know, and you don't know what you don't know. And so my negativity and pessimism towards marriage was always based off of what I had been brought up with. And I think I've been really lucky to number one, like, be in a great relationship now, but also to have had a lot of people talk to me about their own marriages and their own struggles with it and their own happiness with it and all that, to where now I can definitely see that happening, and being more open-minded, not just to that, but to any time I have a feeling where either I am all for something or all against something, realizing that there's another perspective, that, and it's better to ask other people and to learn about it before I just make a single judgment based off of what I know at that point.
Well, that makes perfect sense. I mean, we're all, I think just what you said, we don't know what we don't know. We only know what we see. And what it's when you parent your kid too, you only know how to parent how you were parented. You don't have any other experience, you know? So it's only what you know. That makes perfect sense. Yeah. But it's interesting that you can change through time too, as you get older and you see different things. And yeah, I think that's awesome.
Yeah. I think one thing that I've really tried to do a lot for myself personally is anytime I have a feeling of that something is 100% this or 100% that, that I feel overwhelmingly passionate about one thing being right or wrong, I try and be very conscious of that and say, like, very rarely is anything black and white. Very rarely is anything like 100% yes or 100% no. And so when I feel myself, that's an emotional response. When I feel myself having that type of feeling towards anything, I try and logically like go search out the other opinions and other viewpoints so that I can be more well-rounded on it. And sometimes I'll go back to my original point of view and like, that's just what I believe and that's okay. But I think people run into issues when it's like, this is my belief, this is the way, this is it. And then they become deaf to the opposing viewpoints, because that's when issues happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. What's your least favorite exercise?
My least favorite exercise is the leg extension, because it makes my quads burn so bad. It's like, has nothing to do with my knees. My knees are fortunately very healthy, but if there's one exercise that I, without question, like, leave some on the table because just I hate how it feels, it's the leg extension.
Wow. Wow.
I hate it. I would 10 times out of 10 rather just squat to fail. I'd rather do 20 rep breathing squats than do leg extensions. I hate leg extensions.
Wow. Wow. I don't know what mine is. I think my walking lunges rank right up there for me. Right. Really? Up there. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I love lunges. I love lunges in general, but walking lunges, just, I don't, they're just super, super hard for me.
They're brutal. Yeah,
I mean, they're really brutal. Yeah. I don't think I really despise anything except maybe them. I don't know.
Yeah, burpees too. I hate burpees as well.
Burpees. For
I'd
sure.
still rather do burpees than leg extensions. Though,
oh, okay. Well, that says something right there. Okay, somebody who is working out 6 or 7 days a week and they aren't making the progress they want, what would you tell them?
There's a whole lot that I could go into on that. Someone's working out 6 or 7 days a week, not making the progress they want. I guess it depends what they're doing in the gym and everything, but I would, first and foremost, I'd say odds are, are we assuming that this person, their goal is fat loss?
Yeah, let's assume that. Yeah.
Okay. Assuming their goal is fat loss, they're going 6 or 7 days a week. Usually what happens on this front is when someone at that type of person is usually consciously or not using exercise as a way to justify eating more than they should. And again, it could be conscious, it could be unconscious, but a lot of times people will go to the gym, put in a lot of work and be like, wow, like I deserve to be eating more now. I worked out really hard, and they're using that exercise as a reason to eat more than they actually need, which will then cause them to end up not losing weight or even gaining weight. And I've seen that many, many times. And with those people, it's very difficult sometimes to say, hey, you need to go to the gym less, because in their mind, they're thinking, I need to go to the gym or else I'm going to not only not make progress, but I'm going to lose progress. I'm going to get fat. The gym is the only thing keeping me from not like gaining any more weight. And it takes really convincing that person to take enough time away from the gym where they can go 3 or 4 times a week at most and then focus the rest on their nutrition. Because also that person tends to have some food anxiety as well. They have some food anxiety. They have a lot of times like some binge eating tendencies in which they eat way more than they should. They eat way past the point of fullness. And it's like a lot of times when they don't realize it, going to the gym that much perpetuates that binge eating, overeating cycle, because they're justifying it in their head. Well, because I went to the gym, it's okay. And a lot of times they don't realize it. But when you take those extra few gym days out of there, the desire to be eating more does actually go away almost naturally. And so by taking them out for a few days, it allows them to be like, wow, you know what? Like, I don't have that feeling. And they can get more control of their nutrition, get more control of their overeating. And that helps a lot.
That's really an interesting point that I think probably gets overlooked a lot about people justifying eating more. I think that's a great point. Because
I think a lot of people end up running marathons. A lot of people end up running marathons, not because they love running, not because that, like, they will say, oh, I just love running. And it's like, no, they don't actually. They are running 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 miles every day, every other day, because they're using that as their conscious or not excuse to be able to eat a lot more. But they don't actually, they end up eating more than they should and more than through binge eating. And they're basically just going back and forth. Like, they'll do a lot of exercise and then they'll eat a fuck ton of food, and they'll do a lot of exercise and they'll eat a fuck ton of food. And it's binging on exercise. It's over exercising and then binging on eating and overeating. And it's leading down a path of just like not making any progress in either direction. And you have to take one extreme away in order for them to get better at the other thing first. And that's usually when they start making more mental progress.
Yeah, 100% agree. I think that's just a great point. What would you tell your 12-year-old self?
12-year-old self. Yeah. I would tell my 12-year-old self to my 12. So 12 years old. 12 years old. I would say. I'd say, don't worry. Okay. All right. So my 12-year-old self, when I was 12, that's really right when I was getting into, I was wrestling at that point. I'd been wrestling since I was 8, but I wasn't really super into fitness. I wasn't really like working out that hard. Like, I would do wrestling stuff, but I wasn't like, I had no issues with food or anything. But my major issue at 12 was like right starting to get at the peak of when I was really worried about being a SPED, being in special education, what people thought of me on that front. And so that was a huge insecurity of mine. And it it manifested itself in a lot of bad ways in school and in relationships and with just like cutting classes and stuff and just like really like going out on the opposite end of the spectrum. And I would go back and I would say, hey, listen, like, actually, I'd give myself the advice that one of my best friends in the world, he's a clinical psychologist. He gave this to me when I was in college, and I wish I had it when I was earlier. He'd be like, listen, because I almost dropped out of college. I almost quit because I hated it so much. And he was like, listen, basically think of it like you're in detention. You're in detention. You just got to sit through it. You got to, like, you might not like it. It might not be fun. But just sit through, power through, have as much fun as you can in the process. You got to be in detention anyway. You might as well make the most of it. And I would go back and I'd tell myself, listen, what's going on here, the grades that you get, they don't really matter. They aren't going to dictate how well or how poorly you do in life. They're not going to dictate how good of a person you are, how bad of a person you are. They aren't going to dictate how many friends you have, how many people love you, how many people you can impact. But this is where you have to be at this point in time. Sit tight, make the most of it. And anything that happens in terms of grades or school, it really does not matter. So that's what I would go back and tell myself, even though it is nothing fitness related.
No, I think it's awesome. And just reminds me, I had very similar conversations to 12-year-olds every day when I was counselor. A lot of similar conversations just like that. And I think it was super important for kids to know that.
Yeah, I think it's a good lesson in general. I mean, sometimes in life, you're going to be in positions that you don't want to be in. Like, yeah. you're going to be in a position, be in a place, be in somewhere, a situation that you don't want to be in. But for whatever reason, at that point in time, complaining about it, being upset about it, it doesn't really do anything. Lashing out doesn't do anything. It doesn't fix it because you still have to be there. And being able to make the most of it and whatever that means, being able to enjoy it the most, take advantage of it the most, just sit tight. You're in detention. You got to be in detention anyway. There's no way you can break out of it. So make the most of it. Might as well like just do what you can to make it the best experience you can, even if it's not that fun, and you'll come out better on the other side.
Absolutely. 100%. Which do you prefer to train, glutes or abs?
Glutes, 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, yeah. I fucking hate training abs. I really do. Mainly just because, like, I think there's benefit to it. I just don't fucking like training abs. Like, it's just not fun for me to train abs. Training glutes, I mean, there's so many options that you can do for training glutes. You can do hip thrusts, you can do deadlifts, you can do squats, you can do lunges, you can do good mornings, you can do jumping, you can do like so much stuff. There's so many activities that we could do for glutes. For abs, there's really not that much that you can there's obviously huge variance, but not nearly as much variance as with glutes.
Oh, yeah, totally agree. And I'll agree. I would say glutes too, but I will say that abs have become a little bit of a thing for me now too. So,
and that's interesting, actually. And it goes off of what I was talking about earlier in terms of confidence, right? It's like abs have probably become a thing for you because you've gotten so much stronger with them and you're doing things that are so much more impressive and things that maybe before you either couldn't have done or you couldn't have imagined yourself doing. So now, for example, that you see yourself doing a dragonfly like a fucking boss, now it's like, holy shit, I love this because I'm really fucking good at it. And it's like in everything, people like what they're good at. So for now, because you've put in so much work and so much time and so much effort and you're reaping the benefits, now it's something that you enjoy because, hey, like, I love seeing all of the progress that I've made.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. That's what drives that. Yeah. And a lot of hard work along the way. And yeah, the confidence is for sure there. And I think that is the same that came with me with chin-ups, which leads me to the next question. Pull-ups or chin-ups and why?
I choose chin-ups because number one, I just prefer chin-ups. They just always feel better for me. When I was younger, I played baseball a lot, wrestling and baseball and soccer were my main sports. I did have a rotator cuff issue from when I was – there was one summer I was playing on two different baseball teams, and I would have like sometimes two games in a day, multiple practices in a day, and this is before I started really strength training. I had a rotator cuff issue, and since then I have had an issue with my right shoulder that like when I do pull-ups, especially with a little bit of a wider grip, sometimes I feel the bicep tendon rubbing over back and forth over my shoulder joint, over the glenohumeral joint, and I feel it and it snaps and it doesn't feel comfortable. And so I've just never been a huge fan. I can change it, putting more weight on the outside of my palm, on the lower outside of my palm. I can make it so it doesn't happen, but just more muscle recruitment with chin-ups, more overall focus on just overall, probably more balanced back development, especially for more of like the postural muscles, the rhomboids. You do get more lat specific with pull-ups, but I mean, I've never had an issue with training lats. And if I really want to get more lat specific, I can do lat pull downs. I can do straight arm lat pull downs. I can do pullovers. I can do, there's so many options for lats outside of just pull-ups that for me, if I'm going to choose in one of those for specifically for pull-ups or chin-ups, I'll choose chin-ups 10 out of 10.
Oh yeah. I don't know if I'll ever do a pull-up and I don't care. I used to care, but I don't anymore because I can see the benefits of doing chin-ups. But what's interesting, and it's still a pet peeve of mine, is when I get asked this at the gym all the time, you know, when are you going to do a real pull-up, you know, a quote real pull-up instead of chin-ups?
People ask you that?
Oh yeah.
Man, they should get slapped.
Yeah.
You should ask them. It's like, do you say like, well, like what's the difference? Like, why is that better?
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, they just seem to think that, you know, there is something less than with chin-ups. And I feel like that is kind of out there, just in general with people. It's always, but I want to do a pull-up, not a chin-up. Like there's
That's
something.
So interesting to me, like, yeah. Why people give a shit. Like,
Yeah.
I know people who can do pull-ups but can't do chin-ups very well. It's like, it's not like one is inherently better or worse than the other. It's sort of like when people are like all sumo deadlift, they'd be like, well, when are you going to actually do like real deadlifts, like conventional deadlifts?
Exactly.
Like, what are you talking about?
Exactly.
Like, they're different exercises. Yeah. They're different. They're absolutely different. It's like, and then a lot of the people who say like, well, you shouldn't be sumo deadlifting because it's a reduced range of motion, they'll also be the ones who are doing a really wide stance squat or really wide grip bench press. It's like, so why the fuck is it okay to reduce your range of motion in the squat or the bench press, but not the deadlift? It's like, then they have no answer for that. So it's like, it's people make up these ideas in their head that one exercise is better than the other. And it's all based on dogmatic bullshit.
Yeah. The most recent one that this happened, with a couple of weeks ago, actually, I had the weighted belt on. I was weighting everything, and I just turned to this guy and just says, "How much weight have you put on yours?" And and he hasn't, so yeah, he doesn't bother me anymore.
I love that,
but that has always pissed me off because I don't even have a desire to do a pull up anymore. I just feel like it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, it's not a goal.
Yeah, no, it's not a goal. No. Okay, best bang for your buck, lower body exercise, upper body exercise, and core exercise.
Okay. Obviously, I'm going to go with deadlifts for lower body. For upper body, I would go – is it just upper body or like split into upper body push or pull?
Just either way, it doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, so we'll go deadlifts for lower body. I'll go upper body, I'm going to say eccentric emphasis push-ups.
Okay.
Mainly
that.
Just because when you, I think push-ups are severely underrated. But when you add in that eccentric emphasis, it helps you, you get a little bit of lat in there too. So you still get that back work in, even though it's just not necessarily a back focused exercise, but you're forced to get it in and you do the eccentric emphasis. So that basically for anyone who doesn't know, it's just like doing a push-up and making the lowering portion like 3 to 5 seconds long rather than just going as fast as you can.
Yeah.
So I would say that. And then for core, I would say best bang for your buck. I'm going to go with. Let's see. I'm going to say a long lever hollow body hold into a sit-up.
And
so I'm going to go with that because you get the benefits. You get a lot of different benefits for that. You get the isometric hold of the hollow body, which I think is super powerful and super beneficial for a lot of different movements. But then you get the dynamic action of going into a sit-up and keeping it in mind. It's like a good sit-up. It's like not like a ridiculous one, not like all momentum based, all muscle based. And then on the way back down, going really, really slowly. So you almost get sort of like that reverse crunch involved, like that, just like the eccentric emphasis on the way down too. So I think that is probably, you get the best of the isometric and you get the dynamic on the concentric, and then you also get the eccentric emphasis on the way down.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I would have said similar. I mean, I would have said deadlifts and push-ups for sure. Absolutely. Push-ups have become a bit of a thing. I love push-ups too. And core exercise for me, I would say, and I think this exercise is totally underrated too, is the plank with reach. That sucker is amazing. And it's so hard to do well.
I agree. The plank with the reach is really, it's a great exercise. You get the anti-extension, obviously, as with the plank, but then the anti-rotation as well because of the slow reaching with the single arm. So I agree. That's a fantastic exercise.
Yeah. Okay. Last question. For someone who is just starting out, no, never mind. Not that one. we've already asked that one. For someone who, this is it. For someone who knows what they should be doing, but just aren't doing it, what would you tell them?
For someone who knows what they should be doing, mm-hmm. but they just aren't doing it. That's a great question. That is, I would say, the vast majority of people. And I would say literally 100% of people are doing that in life with something. They know what they should be doing, but they're not doing it. I do it. Like, everybody does it in some aspect of their life. I would say if there's something that you know you should be doing it and you actually want to be doing it, but you're not doing it, give yourself a time frame in which you must do it, and do it for a time frame that's very, very achievable. It's not unrealistic. A lot of people, they I want to do it, but then they create a very unrealistic, I'm going to go into the gym every day for 2019. Or it's like, all right, well, that's a little bit fucking ridiculous. Or like, I'm going to eat healthy every day. I'm never going to have like a bad food ever again, whatever it is. And then it becomes a thing where they overeat and they binge on it. I would say if, for example, let's say, you know you should be going to the gym, but you're not going to the gym, I would say you should make a goal for 30 days of going to the gym twice a week. So over the course of 30 days, that's like 8 times going to the gym. So, and basically just making something that's so over the top realistic that you have no other choice but to succeed. And usually what will happen is once you do that, once you succeed, now it becomes something where it's like, oh, wow, like I can actually do this. And you start to make those changes in your daily life that facilitate that happening. So, and like I was talking about earlier, like in the same way that if you want to deadlift 500 pounds, you don't just do that based on muscular strength. You have to build up the tolerance with your muscles and your tendons and your ligaments and your joints. So when you make a new habit, when you start something new, you have to build up the tolerance by making changes in your daily life. So by starting off with something that's over the top realistic, you start to make those changes over time and you start to make progress because you're doing something consistently for the first time, and that will drive the motivation. So whatever it is, whether it's going to the gym or eating healthier, do something like, let's say for an eating healthier example, might be like, rather than being like, I'm going to have vegetables with every single meal, why don't you say like, okay, one meal a day, I'm going to make sure that I have either a fruit or a vegetable. I'm going to do that for 7 days straight. Now all of a sudden, like, you can do that for 7 days. Like, it's not fucking unrealistic to prepare ahead of time to make sure that you have a fruit and or a vegetable with one meal a day for 7 days straight. And once you make that change and you do it, it can drive that consistency and that habit. So start off with something that's realistic and then build from there.
That's perfect. That's perfect. Builds up confidence and self-efficacy too.
That's it. 100%.
Yeah. Well, this was amazing. These are great answers.
Well, you're amazing. This was a lot of fun. I had a blast. Thank you for the questions. Is there anything that you wanted to end on first?
No, not in particular. Let me throw that back to you. I appreciate you asking me.
I would say, and just like we started with, I know we're really excited about the Inner Circle Retreat. It is going to be this coming July again. Main thing being, especially for people who are looking for a group of supportive people, a community to hold you accountable, to help you push through the tough times when maybe you're just lazy and you're like, I'd rather watch Netflix than go to the gym. If you want a group of people who are really going to support you and help you with your goals and be there to encourage you and motivate you, and also reciprocally have a group of people that you can motivate and that you can support through their tough times, that's what this is all about.
Absolutely.
And I'm really excited about it. If you have any questions, can contact Susan or you can contact myself, and we're more than happy to answer anything on that.
Yeah. And it is the most amazing group out there, bar none.
I am biased, but I have to agree.
Yeah. I think we both are. Awesome. Well, thank you. And
I love it.
I'll be talking to you in a little bit.
All right. I'll text you immediately after we hang up.
Okay.
Bye. I love you.
Bye. Love you. Bye-bye.